Day two of our local candidate forums here on the Voice of Moore County and the surrounding area, AM 1480 KAUS and its Austin School Board, and the race for mayor, for sheriff here in Moore County taking center stage here today and starting things off here for today. We'll have Denver Ritz, and we do have Denver Ritz and Carol McAllister in studio with us here to lead things off for the Austin School Board, and we also have a statement here to be read on behalf of current Austin School Board Chairwoman Kathy Green. So we will get right into that here this afternoon. And again, this from Kathy Green. I thank Scott Fuller and KAUS for offering this opportunity to share the views and outlooks of the candidates for the Austin School Board. I am unable to attend in person today due to a prior commitment to serve and represent school districts throughout the state, serving as a trustee to the Minnesota Public Employees Retirement Association. I am currently serving as the chairperson of the Austin School Board. Prior to serving on the board, I was an involved mother of five sons with a passion for providing excellence in education for all students. Austin has a rich history of legendary educators and students that graduate who go on to make positive contributions. My passion for educational excellence has never wavered. We are continually gifted with enthusiastic students filling the halls of Austin Public Schools. This upcoming election provides a vital opportunity for our community to support our schools. There are five highly qualified and engaged candidates before you who have offered up their service to our district. The board will be well served, but beyond that is the ballot question for additional operating funding. Our district, as well as each of our households, are being impacted by inflationary cost. We recognize the sacrifice to families within our schools. A failure of the referendum will mean strains to staffing, programming, extracurricular, and maintenance. It will mean those serving on the board will need to make difficult decisions. A positive operational levy referendum vote will make it possible to maintain the high expectations our community has for our schools and students. The legacy of our schools have provided a source of pride for those of us who love this town we call home. Be sure to turn over your ballot and look for the school district question. It has always been an honor to serve. Thank you for your support, Kathy Green. So that was, a statement from Kathy Green here for today. And again, we welcome in studio here with us Denver Ritz and Carol McAllister with us here today, candidates for the Austin School Board. Denver, Carol, good afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here today so much. And first off, Denver, we'll start with you, and you have an opening statement for us here this afternoon.
Yeah, again, thank you for having me. I'm going to take this opportunity and introduce myself. Again, my name is Denver Ritz. I've had a 20-year career focused on learning and development, performance coaching, economic development, and youth mentoring, including serving as the Director of Workforce Development and Education for the fourth largest chamber of commerce in the United States and operating a nonprofit leadership development institute for high school students. As a current manager of learning and talent development at Hormel, I actually oversee the performance management approach for the U.S., Brazil, and China. I conduct leadership coaching, succession planning, talent assessment, and other organizational development initiatives. I have a Master's of Science in Management and Strategic Human Resources, Bachelor's in Organizational Development, and an Associate in Leadership Studies. I'm a current facilitator of Right Path and the Neural Leadership Institute. I'm involved locally in Leadership Austin, a mentor at Nexus Girard, and collaborating with the Austin Area Chamber of Commerce on developing an HR education series for member businesses. I've served on dozens of board, council, and committees, including leadership appointments related to economic development, leadership, workforce development, youth mentoring, equity and inclusion, and education. And I hope to use this experience here in Austin.
All right. Thank you for that, Denver. And Carol, your opening statement for us here this afternoon.
Dear Austin community, my name is Carol McAllister, and I am running for a seat on the Austin School Board. I would like to thank KAUS Radio for organizing this forum, the other candidates, and everyone who is listening to this. I'm running for school board because I care deeply about our youth and providing quality education for all students. As a parent, grandparent, Austin High School graduate, and a lifelong resident of Austin, I am personally invested in seeing future generations prosper. I would love to have the honor to serve the community and bring everyone's concerns to the table. I have a finance background and feel that that would be a great asset to the school board. I believe that my skills will bring a diverse perspective along with a new energy and positive balance to the school board. I do want to get a plug in for APAC, which is the Austin Positive Action Coalition. And I've been a member of APAC for practically since its inception. And our mission is to reduce alcohol, marijuana, and vaping use among our youth. And APAC uses a different approach by focusing on positive community norm messages, as well as providing critical prevention education to reduce substance use in our community.
All right. Thank you for that, Carol. And we'll stay here with you here for our first question this afternoon. What should the district's top priority be over the next school board term if you're elected?
Can we go?
Yeah. Carol, if you'd start. Yes.
We need to prepare for growing enrollment. Mm-hmm. Projections are by 2031, enrollment is projected to increase an additional 13% to 18%, which is approximately 600 students. So the question comes in, where are we going to put them? We have some facilities that are outdated. My concern is the mental health of our students. Bridging the achievement gap, especially with the scores that came out yesterday. And then staff, the staffing issues with recruiting and retaining our good staff, and then, making sure that we can keep them and lessen the burnout.
Sure. Okay. Thank you for that. Carol in Denver, same question to you. What should the district's top priority be over the next school board term if you're elected on November 8th?
Yeah, I'm happy to be sharing a microphone with you because we're pretty well aligned here. definitely the math proficiency and reading proficiency scores are below the state average. And so those definitely are a priority focus because it's the foundation of all learning, essentially. I think that we need to look strategically at a long-term plan for the Community Learning Center as well. Make sure that we can expand the online learning capabilities, including the Austin Academy that we have. And then attraction and retention of our educators. So keeping those great educators we have, but when we have openings, how are we attracting top talent to our region? Mm-hmm. And then finally, assessing resource gaps and needs. We're a more diverse community than ever, and it's only going to continue to grow. We have various cultural needs, language learning, mental health, and psychological security issues that are more prevalent than ever before in our district.
Sure. All right. Well, Denver, staying here with you for the next question here this afternoon. Of all the challenges when it concerns COVID, of all the challenges that educators, true educators and staff, created by the pandemic over the last 2 years, which of those challenges do you think might become permanent, and what can a school board do to adapt to them?
I think if you just look at long range, so when students graduate, they go into a workplace and technology is a constant. I can do almost 90% of my job at Hormel from my phone anymore. And so COVID kind of just pushed us in all industries to advance faster and to learn by sometimes failing forward. And so I think that we need to have more opportunities to leverage technology. So whether it be blended learning with some technology, I don't want to take away from classroom facilitation at all, but some students do have the capability to learn online. And so where could we better place our in-person resources to allow some other learners, maybe introductory courses or things of that nature, and then just continuing to expand our Austin Academy, the online version that we have this year, and making sure that we can grow that resource as well.
Okay. And here also, Carol, same question to you. Of the challenges to educators and staff created by the COVID pandemic over these last couple of years, which of those challenges do you think might become permanent, and what can a school board do to adapt to them?
Well, COVID forced, remote learning, and it was, you know, teachers and staff had to be adaptable. They had to have clear communication, and it required very careful planning. And I agree 100% with Denver that technology is going to be a key in the future. I think there's still a future for the brick and mortar building that, you know, needs to be here, but it might be in the future some type of modified plan where you've got online learning and then classroom. The Austin Online Academy is just a wonderful new program that started, and when I talked to the superintendent, he said that there were 80 students already enrolled in that. And coursework's available 24/7 for these students, so they can learn on their own schedule when it fits their life. It's virtual and flexible, and individualized learning plans, because that's what the students really need, because some did fine during COVID with the online education, but some fell even farther behind. And that's where we really need to focus in on the individualized learning plans for the students and what's best for them, and the, you know, with the parents' involvement and expertise too.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you both for that. And Carol, we'll stay with you here for the next question this afternoon. What do you view as the future of evolving education, and what role do you believe learning methods such as online teaching, vocational education, and STEM classes, for example, will play in the education of a child who is entering kindergarten today?
The STEM classes, that's the science, technology, engineering, and math. And that provides the kids with very hands-on learning and real-world applications. And that allows them to develop critical learning, critical thinking skills, creativity, and develop problem-solving skills. You know, that is a wonderful asset that the that the school district has. You know, our traditional education, the general core classes, the reading, writing, math, science, history, that's vitally important also. And you know, with the test scores that were just released, you know, we need to really focus on that. The vocational learning is another asset that students can participate in, and they can, you know, because not all careers require a college degree, and vocational education programs provide students with practical learning opportunities and hands-on experiences. So they do have some of those vocational classes at the high school. There's also, you know, you can do the post-secondary education with Riverland. And then upon completion, the students are prepared to, pursue immediate employment opportunities. And so I think that's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, very much so. Well, thank you for that. Carolyn, same question to you. Denver, what do you view as the future of evolving education, and what role do you believe learning methods such as online teaching, vocational education, and STEM classes, for example, will play in the education of a child who is entering kindergarten today?
Yeah, apart from the focus that I mentioned earlier on increasing our proficiency in math and reading, definitely increased involvement in STEM, because those are definitely the careers that we're going to have of our future. I'm also a big proponent of vocational school. You know, I am the son of a welder. Getting emotional, sorry. my dad taught me amazing things. He, you know, it gave me the hope that, you know, college isn't for everyone, even though that was the path that I chose for my future. But I think education got away from teaching those vocational aspects a little bit. And it's time that we start to focus back on these jobs because they're needed jobs. And we're feeling the pinch now with labor shortages, especially. I'm a homeowner here in Austin, and it's hard to get people to come to your house to do basic things because there's a shortage of them, and everybody's kind of strapped right now. So I would love to see more of our vocational aspects become a main part, especially in those high school years, but also going back to figuring out where can we blend those pathways of that virtual learning, because that's how most workplaces are going to be. No matter what you're doing, you're going to be interacting with technology on a constant basis and building that quick synapse of how you can create those correlations, the problem solving, the creativity, and really just the critical thinking aspects are really embedded within those STEM technologies.
Okay. Thank you for that, Denver, and staying with you here for to start our next question. By one nationwide estimate from a 2021 study, America's schools may have lost as many as 25% of its teachers between 2020 and 2022. What can a school board do to address teacher attrition and burnout, and what can our district's board do to facilitate quality educators choosing to live and work here in Austin as opposed to another community?
Yeah, it's a hard career to be in right now. Definitely. There's a lot going on in the political world, in the social world. There's more aspects put on our teachers today. They become, you know, a family figure. They become an educator. They become a mentor. Sometimes they're doing some nursing responsibilities. Counseling, their job is one of those endless ones that it doesn't stop the moment that they leave the building. And so I think that we need to realistically look at the responsibilities and the pressures that we're putting on them, not just as a school board, but as a society as a whole. And that's just across the board throughout the entire United States for teaching as an entire profession. But as far as acquiring, you know, we need to let teachers teach. So the number one reason they're quitting is stress, going back to kind of what I just first said. Teacher pay can average 23% below their similarly educated peers in other industries. And so I think teacher pay is something that needs to be looked at, because one teacher can produce tomorrow's doctors, surgeons, politicians, welders. Also, just kind of trying to find that balance in the political issues, just with the constant pressure that they're put under. And just making sure that, you know, we're honoring the commitment that they've made to our students and our future community as well.
All right. Thank you for that, Denver. And Carol, same question to you. By a nationwide estimate from a study in 2021, America's schools may have lost as many as 25% of their teachers between 2020 and 2022. What can a school board do to address teacher attrition and burnout? And what can our district's board do to facilitate quality educators choosing to live and work here in Austin as maybe opposed to another community?
Well, recruitment and retention, they go hand in hand, and turnover costs the schools so much money that, you know, and that money that we lose from turnover could be better used to increase the teacher and staff salaries or be used for, you know, student supplies. I think one important thing would be a survey of our current teachers and staff to assess the burnout and determine the retention needs in the district, kind of like a employee satisfaction type survey, you know, so we can really understand where the teachers and staff are coming from. For retention, we need competitive salaries and benefits. We need a supportive working environment. We need growth opportunities for the staff. Cultivate collaboration, mentoring. We need to focus on teacher and staff mental health and their emotional and social well-being, work-life balance. And we need to empower our teachers to succeed. For recruitment efforts, we need a competitive salary and benefit program. We need to hire early for the fall. Standout recruitment materials that, are really going to catch the eye of, potential new hires. 10 maybe college recruiting job fairs. Online is big. So we need to do a good job with that and maybe reach out to previous teachers, get some referrals.
Sure. Okay. All right, Carol, staying with you here for this next question to start off. A referendum on this year's ballot is requesting a tax levy that would result in an estimated $2 million in annual revenue for the Austin School District and would increase dramatically per pupil funding. In a survey of local registered voters presented to the board earlier this year, 50% of those surveyed offered a positive response of an A or a B grade to the job the district has done managing its finances. Is the district managing, in your view, its current finances responsibly, and in what ways could the district improve in this regard if you're elected on November 8th?
I do feel that the district has done a remarkable job in managing their finances. I know that the strategic plan, part of that is, looking at the resources, so they are, focusing in, making sure that we're not spending money erroneously. I agree with the referendum, but I don't feel that, referendums shouldn't be the tool that school districts use to enhance their properly funded schools. It shouldn't need to be the tool that's meant to keep the doors open. So we need to ensure that, the state education is a priority here. The special education is significantly underfunded, despite, there's federal and state mandates for the services, and they are very, very, very important. So my plug in for that is to encourage our legislators to support, there's two bills, it's HF 2657 and SF 4124, and if those pass, we could, get additional funding for the special education services, which would be very, very helpful in the overall budget.
Very much so. Okay. Thank you for that, Carol. In Denver, same question to you. A referendum on this year's ballot is requesting a tax levy that would result in an estimated $2 million in annual revenue for the Austin School District and would increase dramatically per pupil funding. And in a survey of local registered voters presented to the board earlier this year, 50% of those surveyed offered a positive response of an A or a B grade to the job that the district has done managing its finances. Is the district managing, in your view, its current finances responsibly, and in what ways could the district improve in this regard if you're elected on November 8th?
I am a proponent personally of the referendum. I think we're in a dire need right now, where we just have to get caught up to where our other school districts are. Is that by all means the fix? No, it's definitely a long-term strategy. I've been on over 1,500 porches door knocking for my campaign already. And what I am learning is people don't understand how our schools are funded. And so I think that we could do a better job as a district, even just laying out a quick understanding of how funds are acquired, which pools pay for which components of our public education system. And I think we'd be better positioned just from that, with individuals understanding how it works as a whole. Definitely we have to have state support. Fully agree with everything that she just said on supporting the local funding for, the statewide funding for our schools. But then just going through with a critical eye and understanding what pots are paying for what and where we can make more critical decisions to make sure that we are supporting where those gaps may be, including the mental health services, special programming, the arts, and the special education.
Sure. All right. Well, we've reached the time of closing statements here in this first forum of this afternoon, and Denver will stay right with you and your closing statement here this afternoon for us.
Yeah, again, thanks for having me, and thanks for everyone for tuning in and listening. I kind of joked a little bit earlier that school board is typically on the back bottom page of the ballot, and that people tend to forget about it, but it's one of the most important ones. Mm-hmm. Approaching this from my background as leading a chamber of commerce, you know, education is economics at the most simple level. Mm-hmm. As we educate our students, we prepare them for their future, and we want them to plant their future here. You know, I'm fine if students go away and explore college and have their first job somewhere else, but I would hope that their road would lead back to Austin, Minnesota at some point in time so they can continue to plant their roots here, and then their students can go to our schools as well because their experience was so great. I've been on, as I mentioned, 1,500 porches already, knocking on doors, and I'm not done yet. I'm going to keep doing it until Election Day. And if I've been on your porch, I hope that you realize that I'm somebody that's going to listen. I'm not going to focus on the things that we don't agree on. I'm going to focus on the things that we can agree on, we could start to build relationships with. We live in an ever-polarizing world. No one is going to get along 100% and agree on everything, but that little part, that little slice of the pie where we can come together and share that common respect for one another and understanding and have that position of starting, that's really where I want to where I want to be. And so my campaign has been about listening, and I have been listening, and I hope that you felt heard.
All right. Thank you, Denver, for that. And Carol, your closing statement for us here this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having us. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the opportunity. I would be honored to serve the community as a voice on the Austin School Board for all students, parents, teachers, administrators, and the community. I care deeply about our youth and will work tirelessly to provide high-quality education for all students in a safe environment with a prioritization of students' and teachers' emotional, social, and mental well-being. I believe that my background in finance will be an asset to the school board. This expertise will complement the educational experience of the board, offering a diverse skill set necessary for balance. In this way, I can deliver a perspective that is essential as we prepare for future needs of the district. I am looking forward to giving back to the community in a capacity where I will make a positive difference.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Carol, and thank you, Denver. Lots of great stuff from you both here this afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us, and the best of luck to both of you in your campaigns. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.